This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Up Wisconsin. How y'all doing? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about you all, but I had 2 days of rest with a weekend in there, and I am refreshed. I am ready to resist. I am ready for the next chapters of this great politic that we call the United States of America. Got a lot to talk about today. We got a couple of special guests coming in. Got Laura Rodriguez. She's the VP of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about the messaging failure. I think calling it a messaging failure is limited. Doesn't quite capture all of it, does it? But we're going to talk with Laura about that. We're going to talk about the drift that we see in Latino voters. All that coming up. That's going to be at 2:30. We also have special guest Dr. Kristen Lierley, former candidate for the 8th Congressional District. How is Dr. Kristen resetting? How's she feeling? I thought it'd be great to check in with her. So we're going to do that at 3:30. But to begin the show, the first thing I want to do is remind everybody that at the end of the day, this is always about facts and having good, informed conversations. And that is indeed the mission, the raison d'etre, if you will, of civic media, period. It is real news and real conversation. Real news, great conversation. And that is a conversation between me and you. All of us together, the way that we ensure our democracy succeeds is real news and great conversation. That's what we're going to try to do here every single day. And we're going to start that today, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I have a little question for each and every one of you. Where in the world is Eric Hovde? It's very strange. Where has this man gone? Where in the world is Eric Hovde? That is the sound of the very old show, if you are from my era, a little Gen X throwback. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It has been like a week. The AP has called the Senate race. Tammy Baldwin has given her victory speech. And we haven't heard from Eric Hovde since 9:11 a.m. on November 6th. So if you all would like to throw out some theories of where in the world Eric Hovde is, I want to hear from you. Because where is this guy? Where is Mr. Mustache? Again, where in the world is Eric Hovde? Is he back in Cali? Is he at the mansion? Is he doing a cold dip in Lake Michigan somewhere? Is he drinking beer, trying to reclaim his Wisconsin roots? Is he eating cheese curds? Your most ridiculous ideas, welcome here. We need a little levity. 855-752-4842. Where is the great mustache? That is what I would like to know. Again, your comments are welcome. Folks, if you are watching on YouTube, again, that is fabulous. You can also see us on both, let's see, YouTube, Instagram, my goodness. We're also on the Book of Faces. One of our friends chiming in and letting us know, Kari, that there is a bit of echo right now. if they are watching on the U of the Tube. We'll get right on that, folks. But let's dive in today. You know, when I thought about, okay, I've had these 2 days of vacation, a 4-day weekend. I've hit the reset button. I hope you all are taking some time to hit the reset button as well. I thought, what an opportunity to reintroduce myself to each and every one of you. Because I thought, listen, it has been an insane election cycle. I've been on this network for a goodly long time, but it has always seemed dominated by this election cycle, right? So I thought it would be high time for me to reintroduce myself to you in some ways and share a little bit, perhaps each day, put another, a little tidbit of Maggie Dawn out there. But I thought I would start at the most basic, which is, why in the heck do I do talk radio? Why is this important to me? And I have to tell you, if you would have said to me 5 years ago, Maggie, you're going to be doing talk radio, I would have said, absolutely no way. Like, I am a lawyer. I'm an economist. I like working in the public sector. I'm not going to be doing radio. But here's what. The very things that motivated me to become a lawyer and motivated me to become an economist, not in that order, economist first, lawyer second. And the very thing that motivated me to eventually leave the private sector and go into public service, all of those things are still why I choose to do this job every day. And I do it with each and every one of you. And I think even when we disagree, we may find some commonalities in some of our whys. And it's not just the values, but truly, what is the motivation? And let me start with being an economist and becoming a lawyer, which a lot of people think, ugh, economists, ugh, lawyers. Very fair. I've met a lot of economists. I've met a lot of lawyers. I don't like all of them either. But here's why both of those pursuits were something that I wanted to fulfill. And most of it was about the thinking behind it. Like, the law and economics really defines a lot of our politics. It defines how our laws are drafted, right? Economics seem to be the reason, right, that so many voters give and politicians that they talk about, well, we need smaller government because we got a big deficit, right? Or budgets are expressions of values and we haven't placed enough value on the middle class. A tax code is an expression of values. Everywhere that I looked as a young person trying to grow my mind, what I saw was law and economics and politics. So that was like the intellectual curiosity part behind that. I wanted to understand how the system actually works. I didn't want to have to take somebody's word for it. So as ironic as this may seem, while we do this show together, me and you, and Cardi, my fabulous producer, we got the Maggie Dawn team locked in now. If you give us a call at 855-752-4842, please say hi to Cardi. He is now officially part of the MD show team. Curiosity, I think this brings us together. I want to understand how the world works. I understand it better when we do that work together. Right? So anyways, it was curiosity fundamentally that led me both to the law and economics. But why did I want to understand why the system works or how the system works and who gets to call the shots and why do they get to call the shots and why was the law written this way? And what is this thing, economics in the law, that came out of the Seventh Circuit, right, if you want to get wonky about it? Why did I want to know how the system works? Because I wanted to know who the system was serving, and I fundamentally believe that the system should serve working people. And that in every place that I saw the system not working for working people, I wanted to be able to stand up and do something about it. And so whether you're conservative or liberal, I actually think most people want those two things too. We want to know how the system actually works, and we want to be able to do something about it. And at the end of the day, what is my continuous motivation over and over and over and over again is that when I see the system not working for regular people like you and me and our families, when I see people being bullied by people that have greater power and money than them, it really makes me angry. And I felt that as an economist and as a lawyer, when I saw the system not working for people, the system taking advantage of people, when I saw people being bullied, I figured, hey, this is the best way that I, in my little individual way each day, can maybe make the system work a little bit better and stand up for people, stand up against bullies. But in order to do that effectively, one of the things that I had to commit myself to every day was not just the curiosity, the desire to know. It had to be coupled with the humility to ask and then to listen. Because what good is your curiosity if you're not open to the answers? Even answers that might be challenging, even answers that maybe sort of challenge, threaten, I don't know, question your worldview, that point out that your experiences aren't universal. And so if I assumed that the things that I wanted to do were fundamentally rooted in curiosity and humility because I wanted to be able to listen and learn and understand better so that I could be a more effective economist and advocate for people, that also led me to a place where I recognized that I wanted to be hearing from a lot of different people. Because I know what my lived experience is, right? I don't need somebody or a lot of somebodies that have life experiences really similar to mine. That doesn't feed curiosity, and it doesn't help me stay humble about the new information I'm getting. So I wanted always to be surrounded by people that were smarter than me and different than me. And that's what we do together on this show every day. That's the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to be curious. We're going to be humble and open. We're going to listen and learn. We're going to be open to people who think differently and have different lived experiences. And of course, where in the world is Eric Hovde? We got that going on today. I'm going to come back with a couple of the issues that I think you're going to hear thematically here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to get this reset kicked off here because it is always and ever about real news and great conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. If you're on the lines, if you're texting, stay there. I'm going to get to that next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Tuesday. It ain't Monday. That's what I think of Tuesday. Tuesday just ain't Monday, thank goodness. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can always count on real news and great conversations. Great conversation. I'm talking to you today about some of my values, some of why I do this. I hope it resonates with you, because we don't do this alone, right? We do this in conversation with one another. That's how this show works best. And my question of the day is, like, where in the world is Eric Hovde? We haven't heard from him since, again, check it, 9:11 a.m. on November 6th. AP has called it. Tammy Baldwin has given her victory speech. There is no way he could make up the margin with a recount. I mean, he's within the margin where you get to ask for the recount, which is, I believe, 1%. He would have to foot the bill, But it ain't, I mean, I've had some experience with recounts. You may know that. He's not going to make up the difference in a recount. That election is over. Mike from Spring Green, do you know where Eric Hovde is?
I think he went back to his secret lair, peeled off the rubber mask, and revealed that he's really Scott Walker.
I love it, Mike. I don't know. Does the mask work on the Scott Walker Elmer Fudd ears, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, Scott Walker.
Well, that's part of the mask. You know,
okay.
It's the 21st century. It's the 21st century. We got high tech.
It's very Mission Impossible, right? It's like this digital thing that perfectly transforms his voice.
Right. Exactly.
I love it. Mike, thanks so much for listening and calling. Anything else you'd like to add this afternoon, sir?
No, other than I heard you guys speaking over the break, and you got to tell your guy that it's Spring Green. He never heard of it, but that's where I'm from.
Spring Green, Mike, I got you. I've been to the Spring of the Green. I have been to the theater in the Round there, American Players Theater, APT, located in Spring Green, Wisconsin, just outside of Madison. I've seen some incredible Shakespeare there. We got the House on the Rock. Mike, I got you covered, man. I've been there. No worries. A couple of texters weighing in here. I love to hear your feedback. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton has this to say. Hovde fell in a lake. But he also says this. I don't know if he fell in a lake. He's probably doing another cold dip. Maybe he's cutting some more like weird Twitter posts. he said this. This is Matt from Middleton. I feel like we've got a cry wolf problem. Identity politics made it so we on the left cried racist for too long. The social justice movement, combined with the term woke, came in and gave an impression, whether correct or incorrect, that white people were the cause of racism. Then a true racist came to power and too many people didn't care. The wolf is here now and we need to tone down the identity politics. I will readily admit, Matt, here's where I sit on this. Racism is a real thing. And we clearly have a problem with it in our country. Period, full stop. How do we continue to have meaningful conversations about race without being pigeonholed into whatever box it is that Donald Trump perfectly painted us, right? Because I don't think meaningful conversations about race in America should ever stop. We need to constantly have these conversations, but we need to do so in a way that doesn't disable elections and public policy from moving forward, that the arc of history bends towards justice. Yeah, we believe in that. Well, we have to be able to have truthful conversations, and I don't think we're there. Now, part of that, I believe, Matt, is what I am going to call the information environment. And that information environment has completely changed. It used to be mainstream media. I think it's less about Fox News and MSNBC than it has possibly ever been. I think it's more like outlets like Civic Media and outlets like Democracy Docket that are having a bigger impact. Clearly, Twitter, I mean, holy cow. I'm going to talk about some of the statistics in today's show, Matt, if you're interested in this, about this information environment, about this relationship between the richest man in the world who controls one of the information sources for people and his relationship with Donald Trump. Now, be you conservative or liberal, I'll just say this, little tease for what's going to come later in the show. I have had a saying for many years, all it takes is three billionaires and a bad idea to ruin the world. And why do I say that? It's because rich people have an outsized influence. You put a rich person in the White House, I don't care what party they are, right? And you make their best buddy the richest guy in the world that controls one of the world's most robust information outlets. That creates and information asymmetry and great incentives to abuse the information environment in which people are. And I think that's part of what we've got to be talking about. How do we make people smarter consumers of information? Jim from Appleton says this, about Fox News. I'm not trying to shut down Fox opinion and entertainment down. I just want to remove the title news from Fox News. Please don't tell me that they can just call themselves Fox News. This is also a criticism that could be leveled, in my opinion, Jim, at MSNBC. So it's a much more complicated topic than I could give it right now. We've got some other texters weighing in. We're going to try to get to those. Folks, if you are on the lines, I will get to you in this next segment. This one's making me laugh, so you're going to get bumped to the front of the line. The 262 texter, Eric Hovde is in Mexico loading a plane with laundered money for transport to the U.S. Can you just see him with like sacks of cash? He looks like an in-shape guy. I'm sure he'd be able to move like a lot of cash and gold bars around. Listen, we're going to take care of some quick business. We're going to come back. We got a great guest coming up. I'm going to take more of your calls and texts. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we believe in real news and great conversation. Back with more in just a moment.
I've always been the one to say the first goodbye. Had to love and lose 100 million times. Had to get it wrong to know just what I like. Now I'm falling. You say my name like I have never heard before. I'm indecisive, but this time I know for sure. I hope I'm not the only one that feels it all. Are you falling? Center of attention, you know.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Well, what's up, y'all? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about where in the world is Eric Hovde? I don't know. We've had some great hypothesizing happening. He's taking a cold dip in Lake Michigan, drinking a beer, perhaps cheese curds. Or has he given up proving he's a Wisconsinite altogether? I don't know. Another one, which I loved from the 262, Hovde's in Mexico loading a plane with lots of money for laundering. The point here, of course, is we need to hear from Eric Hovde, and he needs to concede ASAP. Let's take a couple of quick callers, then we're going to try to make sure that my next most fabulous guest has been sorted out. Her name is Laura Rodriguez. She's the VP of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My wonderful producer, Cardi, is going to continue to check on Laura to make sure we've got her. Dick from Madison, you had a couple of thoughts. Fire away when ready, sir.
Eric Hovde's hanging out. He's been on a one-week bender with Tim Michaels, who lost to Evers.
The idea of like these two really rich guys, you know, like crying into their beers.
Isn't it beautiful?
Listen, go ahead, Dick. Sorry.
And a feel-good thing. How about that? Those Senate races in Nevada and Arizona.
Yes, that
my,
is
my.
That is absolutely part of the good news here coming out of the cycle. Listen, I think if you take a really clinical, like 35,000 foot view of this stuff, First of all, losing the Senate was basically a given. We always knew that the presidential election was a toss-up, and we're seeing how the House races sort out. Of course, California, for a whole bunch of really, very wonky rules, it takes a long time to count some of those races. But yeah, this was not outside of the realm of possibility, let's just say. Thanks so much, Dick from Madison. David from San Francisco, you say what, sir?
Oh, hi, Maggie. Yeah, I heard the discussion there of, of Trump's duty to service, whether he intends to serve America or whether he's just going to serve himself. And do you remember the old 1001 Nights story, Scheherazade?
Mm, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people might know about it from Alibaba and the 40 Thieves or the Flying Carpet story or
yes.
whatever. And but that was, it was basically about an insane king, a king that I think he went off to war. And when he got back, he learned that his wife had had an affair. So right away, he kills her and decides to get even with women forevermore. And he marries a woman every night and kills her the next morning, every night, kills her. So finally, Scheherazade, who's the daughter of the Grand Vizier, volunteers to be the next. Huge courage, and everybody's telling her, don't do this. And she says, I've got to do it. And so she tells him a story every night that's so engaging that he can't kill her in the morning because he needs to hear the rest of the story. And so that goes on for 1001 nights. And so, this trouble with Trump and the trouble with his minions is it's made worse because they're daring each other to do something more stupid. If Trump had any measly ethics, his minions are saying, well, screw the EPA, screw the poison control, screw the architectural standards. We don't need no stinking regulations.
We don't need no stinking badges. So yes, go ahead.
Well, so that's really what Project 2025 is all about.
Yes.
They're daring each other to be more insane.
Well, and I think it's easy. Thanks so much for the call, David. I really appreciate you listening and participating. I think it's easy to think of it as crazy, but it's actually not. At some level, every single voter believed that they were voting in their self-interest. Now, we know that that's not true, right? And therein lies the rub. Here's something that the prior caller was making a joke about, but it's actually deadly serious. And it's this. Look at who we've got, even from just the state of Wisconsin, but you can expand it nationally if you want, got running for races now. Tim Michaels. How many hundreds of millions of dollars did he have? He walked into a family-owned corporation, made it more profitable. He's gotten wealthier. Eric Hovde, he was born into some means, not the level of wealth he is now, but he's a stinking rich guy. We got a billionaire that's our president. We got Ron Johnson in the state of Wisconsin. It should not be the case that our elected representatives literally don't have to care about how much anything costs because they can buy as many of them as they want because their wealth is so extreme. That's something that most Americans totally agree with. Why is that we're only seeing these ultra wealthy people running for office? That doesn't compute. Why is there so much money in politics? That's not what we want. Right. And so it's pointing us to this problem, right? Like loud and clear. And it should be this. I mean, and then I'm going to bring on my next guest. Can't wait to hear what she's got to say about this. But here's the rub. There are a few issues in this country where virtually all of us agree. And I'm going to posit this as a test of democracy. And that is, do we see laws getting made that reflect the vast consensus of the governed? Here's one of them. Money ain't speech. 85-90% of us agree that money isn't speech and that that's stupid and corrupting. And yet, we have a Supreme Court that said the opposite, and legislators that won't do anything about it. I wonder why. If you're a rich guy and you've just won an election, why in the hell would you want money out of politics? You want money to be speech because you got lots of it. Okay? That's something universally we agree with. Here's the other thing. Women should have a right to choose. We can argue about which weeks and blah, blah, but like in general, we all agree about that. And yet, again, the Supreme Court just found otherwise. And we have failed to enact legislation to enshrine that right on a national level. Now, some states are getting it done, but we had oral arguments this morning at the Wisconsin State Supreme Court over this right. If we agree in great numbers about a few core things, like billionaires should pay more in income tax, capital gains tax being lower than income tax is stupid, then why don't we see laws reflecting what we generally agree about in massive proportions? That's a good test of democracy, and we're not seeing this here. And we're increasingly seeing only rich dudes, which overwhelmingly are white, and dudes seem to be the only people that are running for office. This is a problem in democracy. With that, I can think of no one better than my very next guest to bring on to discuss. Again, her name is Laura Rodriguez. She's the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome to the show, Laura. Sorry about the hiccups getting you going here, but it's great to have you. How are you doing today?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be on the show. This is going to be a great conversation. Just listening for the last few minutes has been fascinating. I think you bring up two really great points. I'll start with your question about why. You said, why are all these rich people the ones representing us? I will give you one more step from that. Have those rich dudes who don't have anything to do with the working class convinced the working class that they're for them? How and why? What is it? What's the message that they're hearing?
Yes.
Right. And then that goes right into the voting against your own interest, right? The piece of not understanding exactly what is. They heard economy and they heard things were better before. I mean, we had a bunch of young people voting for Donald Trump. They couldn't have remembered the first time around, right? And so they just wanted to shake things up. I think we're going to see, obviously, we're in the middle of obviously in the middle of like all of the autopsy and all the questions, and we'll know more in a few months. But I think we're going to see just this real distrust of institutions, and we have to figure out why. We have to figure out why they want to burn it all down and they want to start over. Because that is what we're hearing more and more.
I mean, here's my hypothesis, Laura, because people are correctly perceiving that institutions no longer represent their best interests, and they're right. This is the piece that, like, I don't care if you're, again, I almost don't even want to talk about, like, Democrats, Republicans, because it's all been blown to smithereens. It's not right, left, center. People correctly perceived that institutions weren't working in their best interests. That, to me, is a different, it's sort of a different translation of saying democracy is successful when you see the things that the vast majority of people agree on being enacted into law and progress being made on those kinds of things. And we're not seeing that, right? And so I don't think the despondency over institutions is misplaced. I think people are right on point, but they were given the wrong diagnosis of the problem.
Well, and they also seem to want to have some sort of balance. And by that, I mean, obviously, we saw in Wisconsin as well as in other states that they were willing to vote for Donald Trump as president, but then the Democrat as...
Can you hang on 1 second? Hey, Cardi, I can hear whatever you're playing and I can't hear Laura. Go ahead. You said you began and I couldn't quite pick up. Please say what you were saying again.
Sure, no problem. I was saying that I think that you also saw people wanted some sort of balance.
balance.
Right? They voted for Trump as president, but then, you know, a Democrat for senator. We saw it in Wisconsin. We saw it in Arizona. We saw it in state after state. And even Pennsylvania still up in the air going into a recount. We saw people supporting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and voting for Trump. You could not get more extreme than that. And again,
except
the
that they're
that
both
I
agents,
they common,
aren't they both agents of change, at least perceived agents of change, perceived anti-establishmentism. Folks, we're going to have to take care of some quick business, but not for 2 minutes here. I see we've still got 2 minutes. I think, you know, the through line that I'm feeling and seeing here, Laura, is people weren't stupid. They were voting like this deeply instinctual thing that, like, again, institutions don't represent me. I want to blow it up. I want it to be better. A lot of anti-establishmentarianism. There's a long one. And Donald Trump was great at saying the institutions are failing you because of this group over here. Right? Laura, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, you're great. You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more. And the Democratic Party tends to want to explain policy and how it's going to help. But voting at the end of the day is a gut decision. It is what they're feeling. And you cannot explain that away with policy.
Yeah. And there's no amount of data and facts and other information that will ever get someone to take a vote that doesn't square with their instinct. Right. We're going to come back more with Laura Rodriguez, the VP of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Fund. I want to talk about Latino voters and the idea that we need to stop putting people in these blocks together because there's lots of different interests at play. I think the Latino voting bloc is probably the biggest miss when it comes to overgeneralizing people as voters and these very instincts that we're talking about. Folks, if you're on the line, stay there. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We discuss more after these brief messages. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I have been blessed by the opportunity to talk to so many incredibly smart people who have spent their entire careers thinking about public policy and politics, especially our friends from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My current guest is one of those very, very smart people. Her name is Laura Rodriguez. She is the VP of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome back to the show, Laura. We've been talking about, like, what exactly happened. And it sounds like you and I are, and some of the stuff I've been reading, and I've actually tried to insulate myself from a lot of the postmortem because I wanted to have some clear thoughts myself. And there's two or three things that I think I believe are the clear sort of motivating things. The electorate correctly perceived that institutions no longer represent their interests, that it's not working for them. Now, one of the tricks about that is that macroeconomics and the overall economic health of the U.S. is like how that shows up in kitchen tables and pocketbooks. That's a tailwind to how it works first for the U.S. economy overall. And there was absolute failure on that point. The second thing is, and this gets into message, but also the information environment in which people are consuming information and who's talking to who and who do they trust is completely different. And Democrats didn't correctly move forward, like move with the times, right? And especially when we look at quote-unquote box of voters, Latinos and mainstream media, that's not who, there's been some polling done. Latinos do not consume their news predominantly from mainstream media outlets. It is predominantly from X and other social media outlets. That makes sense. You trust your friends. You trust what they post. That's a truism amongst all voters. Laura, your reactions to these handful of observations that we've had, and if you want to sort of lead us through some of your thinking about Latino voters, especially, again, the treatment of Latino voters as a bloc, I think, has been misplaced for a number of election cycles. I could probably go back about a decade. I can't hear Laura. Go ahead. Go ahead now. I gotcha. Yes, please continue.
Okay, great. No, there definitely has been this misunderstanding for such a long time. We're talking about also generational differences, right? When we're talking about Latinos now, they're not necessarily immigrants themselves or even first or second generation Latinos. I know that in many states, we're talking third, fourth generation Latinos, but even those first generation or even immigrant Latinos, two things that are really important that I think popped out to me. So in Wisconsin, 64% of Latino voters said that cost was their big issue, right? The economy, but the living costs, inflation, right? And what did the Democratic Party do? They talked about how inflation was down, and it is, but not about costs and what that meant for costs. The fact of the matter was they cherry-picked a really good stat that inflation was down to 2.1%. But they didn't talk about the fact that prices in the last 4 years for normal household goods have gone up about 20%. That is a lot of money. That is a huge, huge problem. And the other piece of that 64% of Latinos saying that is that it sounds familiar because that's how everyone else kind of put it up. You know, every other group also put it up there, right, as their top issue. It's not rocket science. But I will say your point about the media is so important, and especially with Latino communities, that is one thing that they do very differently, and they have for some time. The Republican Party has known for a long time to go to WhatsApp, to go to YouTube, to go to all these shows that you're picking your news in a way that we never used to do before. Mainstream media is not where most people these days are getting their news. In Latino communities, you have a large group of folks getting their news from Facebook and getting their news from WhatsApp groups. And the Democratic Party in this election started to move towards that direction, but it was very late in the game.
It was so late.
When they had a WhatsApp, but, you know, it was 3 months. It was a month before the election. You know, just doesn't quite work that way.
Well, I think that is, in a nutshell, Democrats like some of the right ideas, the totally wrong message, and the wrong message outlets. Like, turns out that Cardi B showing up isn't really how you convince people. Like, here's the thing with celebrities, right? Guess what? Rich people. I've been doing a segment, Maggie and the Millionaires, talking money, because I incorrectly thought that, like, having millionaires talk about the fact that we need a survivable minimum wage and greater tax on other millionaires would help with swing voters. Nope, that was not the thing to do. Like, we need less from the millionaire set, less from the celebrity set, more from the regular me and you set. Laura Rodriguez, the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. 30 seconds, last word of the day on this topic from you, ma'am.
Really quick, the Latino community also does not necessarily hear themselves in the terrible rhetoric that you heard from Donald Trump's mouth. Understand that they don't see themselves there. They see those others, just like every other group.
Yes.
They feel like he's not talking about them. He's talking about the criminals, not them, who are the hardworking folks.
Yeah, I ain't a criminal, so he's not talking about me. Folks, thanks so much to my very special guest, Laura Rodriguez, the VP of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to come back top of the hour, do a little refresh right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. More thoughts about the things that motivate me and you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.